Hopefully you're coming to the opinion that that's the only life you want. Walking close to your wonderful Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, today, last week, we talked about the different aspects of your life and your personality. And today I want to add in how the mind and the will come into that. And I want to talk about the steps of making a decision. Now, in your mind, there are three basic areas of capacity as such. First of all, let me just say what they are, and then I'll explain them. Your reason, your judgment, and your will. Your reason, your judgment, and your will. Now, your reasoning ability is your ability to analyze and to receive and to analyze facts. To receive and to understand and to analyze facts or information. That's your reasoning ability. Your judgment is your ability to make discernment and comparison and evaluation of those facts. That's your judgment. And then your will. What's your will? Your will decides on the facts. And now the will, you see, your life is not necessarily based on reason. A lot of people live unreasonable lives. And your life is not necessarily based on your judgment either. Your life is based on your will. Because you do what you decide to do. That's right. It's because of your will. You do what you decide. And you become what you decide. Your life is a sum total of your repeated decisions. You decided to come to Bible college. And because of that decision, certain things have happened. You've decided. You know how oftentimes you make a decision and it's for God, and you're afraid, and you make it anyway because you know it's right. But then the blessings start rolling in. And it's always more blessed than what you were able to imagine. And it always, you know, the blessings encompass areas that you hadn't even thought of. But it's the same way the other side of the coin. When you make a decision for the devil, you're surprised later how many areas were affected. You didn't think all those many areas would be affected negatively. Well, it's the same way positively, by decision. But see, you become according to your will. Your will operates totally independent of your reason and judgment. You can look at a certain thing, get all the facts. By your reasoning ability, you can analyze all these facts. Then you can sit back and you can make judgment on these facts. And because of these facts, your judgment says the best thing for you to do is to, you know, this and this and this. To walk with God, to really pray, and so forth. And then you decide what you're going to do. Your decision might be totally opposite of all that your reasoning and judgment has brought to you. That's the crazy thing about us human beings. God gives us a will, and it's independent of our reason. If our will was always in line with our reason, we'd be kind of like robots or something. You see? It's just whatever we see, that's where we go. Now, obviously, you want to bring your will into subjection with the judgment of God, don't you? But that is, again, another decision of your will. To bring your will into line with God's judgment is, again, another decision of your will. And that's independent of your judgment. The person that, they're overeating, they know they shouldn't be. Like a person that's not wanting to overeat. Their reason, they get all the facts of carbohydrates and, you know, what they require, their metabolism, how certain food affects them, and so forth. And then they cast a judgment on those facts. Okay? The judgment is, don't you touch that piece of chocolate cake. Then their will says, I'm going to anyway. And they eat it. You know, and that happens all the time. We go contrary to our judgment. And because of lust of the flesh, because of the devil, because of our own, you know, desires or whatever. Now, obviously, if you've got the wrong information and your will makes a good decision based on what you had, but it ends up negative, well, then, you know, there's no condemnation on your will because you didn't have all the facts and so forth. Now, your will is tremendously powerful. God's will rules the universe. But he gives us a little piece of that, if I might say, by giving us our will. Your will save you. Your will can take you to heaven or take you to hell. Isn't that something? Think about it. Your will gives you eternal destiny. The scripture makes it very clear it's your choice. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 talks about forsaking your own life, losing your life that you might find it. And it mentions in there, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, you save your soul. You save yourself. We often think about how God saves us, but really you save yourself. Now, of course, there's different views. I'm looking at it in a different view. In John 7, verse 17, Jesus said this, "If any man will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or not." If any man will to do my Father's will. In other words, if you are willing, if you choose to do the Father's will, you will find understanding and revelation entering into your heart. Have you ever had that happen to you? You know what I'm talking about? You struggle with a thing, don't understand, can't see it. Well, you finally just submit to the Lord anyway. And then, boom, the light turns on. And you realize all along that you weren't getting the light. You were blaming God. But you weren't getting the light because you weren't willing. That's why when you are witnessing and sharing with an unwilling person, you're beating your head against the wall. Something's got to happen to break that through. You've got to bring them into a place of surrender before it's going to make sense to them. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, there's a scripture there. It uses the term unbelief. Let's look at it. I'll just read it to you. I've got it here. 1 Peter 2, 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." It's not unbelief, it's disobedience. But this word translated disobedient. "Unto them which be disobedient, the stone is made the head of the corner." Now the word disobedient here in the Greek is apeithia. Maybe you've heard of this term. A-P-E-I-T-H-I-A. And really the basic idea behind the word is unpersuadableness. Apeithia, A-P-E-I-T-H-I-A. And in other words, they're not persuadable. They're not movable. They're not bendable. They're unwilling. That's it. They're unwilling. And here it translates it disobedience. Other places it translates it unbelief. But it's unwillingness. It's unpersuadableness. They won't be persuaded. And this kind of person, see, he rejects the whole thing. He's got all the reason, all the judgment, everything all lines up, but he says no anyway. Now, your will has a tremendous amount of power. God has given you a will that can stop God. Think about it. God has given you something that can actually thwart his will, his plan for your life. He's also given you a will that can stop Satan's plans. Do you know that unsaved people can actually disallow the devil to do certain things in their lives? That's the truth. They can just say no, and they won't let the devil go any farther. They can actually stop the devil. You know, it takes work to yield to the devil even. These demon-possessed people in foreign lands, going through all their gyrations and hours of beating the drums and dancing around in circles with drugs. It's not easy for them to have the spirit totally take over. They have to go through all kinds of stuff, you know. Just like we do, we have to seek the Lord. You know, to really let the Spirit of God have his way in your life, brother, you need to be in continual prayer. To really be moving in that realm. It deals with your will. Now, Satan, in our life, we are battling a spiritual battle. You need to understand this. A spiritual battle. And it's not, we tend to relegate things to an external type of thing. Externals. And we'll think we've whipped the devil if, you know, we made it to, you know, if we did some outward thing. But actuality, the battle is going on inside. And when it comes right down to it, it is your decisions. I have prayed for people in deliverance. In fact, it happened just recently. This is last week, actually. Person prayed. All right, let's stop. Okay? Are you going to walk with God? and talked, and finally came down to a decision. And in that decision, we prayed for 5 minutes and the demon left. It was a decision that was required. You know, if you ever prayed against something and then realized that you were just kind of praying into the air, mm-hmm. Now you get out of here. Now you leave me alone. Now you cut that out. Now I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You know, and you go through all of this, see? And then finally you say, you know, what's all this about? I've had it. Boom! You know, and you just close the door. That's it. And you walk off and he's left outside. Mm-hmm. And here you were trying to, you know, carry on. All it took was a decision. I had a thing, this was a while back, a thing that was bugging me, you know, a certain temptation. Not a big issue, but it was a bother to me. You know, bug me, you know. Kind of, just pushing it off, but it just keeps coming back. And then finally, one day I just said, now what is all this for? Here I am playing this game. No. That was it. All done. Close up shop. A decision. Your will has such tremendous power. Now, don't get me wrong. God is the one that has the power. But it's your decision that opens up the channel for God to move. Your will has such power. You can stop the devil because of your availability to Christ. Now, one of the biggest choices that men and women that we ever make, one of the biggest choices, one of the biggest decisions that you can ever make, and this is a biggie, are you ready for this one? Is to choose God's word above your own mind. Mm-hmm. Now what this does is it puts the final rule upon God and it subjects your will to the will of God. That's one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. Jesus Christ, this was the decision that saved your soul. Not my will, but thy will be done. That was the biggest decision and it saved your soul. Now this is a decision that God's calling us to. That means at a time when your mind is telling you a certain thing, you're a rat, you're no good, and your mind tells you that, and you feel that way, and your emotions are that way, but the Word of God contradicts that, what are you going to believe? What are you going to walk by? When you want to do a certain thing, and you think it's all right with you, and everybody else is doing it, but God's Word says no, what are you going to do? Even the fact of arguing and discussing an issue, God's word says bring every thought into captivity, and here you are arguing and you're just going through a fuss about something. God's word interdicts that too. Stop. To deny yourself the carnal luxury of even going through the negative processes in your mind is a hard thing to do. I mean to actually and really choose by choice God's word above what you yourself think. Do you know what it's like doing? It's like denying yourself. It's like denying, it's as if you become a slave and you just lose your own independence. Now, that's a deep thing, but I ask you, isn't that exactly what he's been asking all along? See, some people have made a commitment to Christ and not realize the extent of what this really is asking, of what the Lord is really looking for. But for you, in your will, by your will, to actually choose that no matter what your mind is going through, no matter what your emotions are going through, no matter whatever else is going through, you are solid upon the rock and you're committed to do the will of God. You feel like swearing. You are so mad. Something came up. You just, you know, blasphemy is flying through your mind. You know, It just wants to spill out. And I have a hard time relating to this one, but I know some have gone through that. And, you know, something happens, and you just want to just curse. You just want to do something. But in your will says, I will do nothing but the will of God. And you choose to draw back from what you've always felt was the real you. To draw back from that, it's as if you're dying. It's as if you're killing yourself. It's as if you're just saying, I'm just going to roll over and die. And you say, no, I won't do that, even though that's me, you think. But you choose the will of God. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out what you thought was you all these years wasn't really you. You're going to find out that there's been other forces working inside, and when you deny your flesh the luxury of living in the flesh, you're going to find out that what you thought was you all these years was your flesh. And there's going to be something come up within you, a new life, a new man, that's going to delight in doing the will of God. And that's what you want. Now, I hate to say it, but there are a lot of Christians that have not found that place. They haven't. They have not found that place where they can honestly say, to do thy will, I delight to do thy will, O God. What they do is they go where it's easiest to go. And when it's easiest to go God's way, they go God's way. But when they're pressed, they just say, well, but, you know, I'm who I am. I just can't help it. I'm just that person. I mean, you know. You ask me to deny who I am, get off my back. See, they'll tell a Christian that. It'll come up to them and say, brother, do you know what you did? You know, and they'll reprove them. They say, hey, look, I'm who I am. I can't help who I am. Get off my back. Do you know what's happened to them? Their will has not been submitted to the will of God. And who they are is their big flesh man. And they don't realize it yet. And you know what? That one is never going to go to heaven. That flesh man won't go to heaven. Shocking realization for some. He won't be there. That's the truth. Do you think the carnal man is going to go to heaven? Hey, look. Some people, they think that's who they are, is their carnal man. But it's not going to go to heaven. That's not the real you. The real you is that will, that choice. And the real you is seen when you are walking in the Spirit and you have made decisions for God. That's why some Christians are being deceived by the devil, because they have not willingly yielded everything to God. They're being deceived by the devil into thinking that that's just who they are. Well, I'm one of those people that. You ever heard that? Well, I'm one of those people that I just have bad temper. I'm just one of those people. Do you know what? That's not the real them. The real them, that soul inside, has acquired a carnal trait of bad temper. And they need to get rid of that so that they know who they really are. Isn't that something? They don't really know who they really are. Not until you've totally surrendered all and died, as it were, and laid all at the feet of Jesus, so that your will is subservient to the will of God, are you really living out your life. See, it's the same type of choice that when you wake up in the morning and, you know, wrong side of the bed and all that. I don't choose to be that.
That's right.
God's will is that I be a light shining in the midst of darkness.
Right.
That I be in the joy of the Lord all the day.
Amen.
God's will is that I praise Him. And therefore, that's who I am. So, I get up, and though I don't feel like it, I say, flesh, you're not ruling this kid. I'm submitting to the will of God. That's my choice. Therefore, I now choose that I'm the kind of person that praises God anyhow. Whatever you want in God is yours. That's what I'm telling you. Because of your will. Because of your choice. I tell you, this is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barbara, God can testify about a demon talking and saying, I am sick. And she said, it was really, the Lord turned on a light in her mind and showed her that spirit was saying, I am sick. And she said, that's right, demon, you are sick. It was such a deliverance in my life, because now when I hear it say, oh, I'm too tired to get up and go to school this morning. Oh, I'm too tired. I said, that's right, you are too tired. But I've got a policy set in my head, nothing, I'm going to go to my
That's exactly
it.
Right.
And so it's whenever those demons come and say, I am such and such, I am shy, I just say, that's right, you are demon. And
mm-hmm.
The Lord's clicking a light and trying to it.
That's right. Yeah. Just like in evangelism.
Yeah.
Well, I'm too afraid. I'm not the kind of person that just goes up and talks to people. Huh? No, it's the will of God that they talk to it.
That's right.
And therefore, I am the kind of person that goes up and talks to them because I choose to be that. Now, see, this is not this worldly concept, the mind over matter type of psychoanalysis or anything like that. What we're doing is we are accepting the will of God.
Yeah.
The will of God. And if it's God's will, then that's what I will be. If it's God's will, then that's me. That's me. What does it say? Whatever it says. Okay, I find it. That's why searching the Word of God is such a thrilling experience. Because as soon as you find something, it's yours. It's yours. And you become that. By choice. Because you say, not my will, but thy will be done. And all of a sudden, you're just completely released from all that. Now see, the Bible says that a person that cannot control his own spirit is as a city without walls. Now, a city without walls, enemy comes in any time he wants. And that's what we're like when we don't control our spirit. Because what happens is the devil, he sees it a long ways out and he says, aha, I'm going to ruin his day. And so he takes the fiery dart and he flings it at us. And we get hit with this with a lie that tries to produce us a feeling, you know. And so so far we've been free from it. So we wake up all jovial and just happy, you know, because we're kind of free from it. And then we walk by somebody on the way to Bible college and we think they shunned us. Now, we didn't realize it, but they just came out of prayer meeting. They're so lost in prayer, you know. But we think they shunned us. And so the devil fires that dart and it says, they don't love you. They don't love you. They think you're dumb. Yeah, it's probably the dress you're wearing today. Yeah. You look ugly. You're overweight, too. You notice that? Look at those jowls. Just jowls hanging down. All of this, see? Yeah, and besides that, you know, your breath probably stinks. And, boy, I tell you, you're just such a mess. You don't know. And all of a sudden, you know, it goes to, you know. Just like that. The devil pushes you anywhere he wants you. He'll just fling another lie at you, and it'll jam right in your mind, and you'll think it's you. But try this: anything and everything that is contrary to the will of God is not you. It's not the real you. You say, but I've had bad habits that I've had over the years. That's an acquired bad habit. That's still not the real you. What you are is only seen when you are living in the Spirit. That's the only time the real you comes to full light. See, that's one of the reasons why when a person gets saved, it's so wonderful. Because now all the masks come off. Now all the facades, now all that other junk falls off. And it's so wonderful just to be free. Don't you feel free? When you're walking in the Spirit, you can really do whatever you want to do. You really can. All things are lawful when you're walking in the Spirit. Because the real you is created by God in the image of God. See? And now you're being brought into His likeness so that you can live out what you really are. And what you really are is what God's will is. That's where it's found. That's what your decision should be. What I am is what the will of God is. See, if you think you're something because of all the years and whatnot, if you think you're something, you don't have to be what you don't want, what is not in the will of God. You don't have to be that. You can be what God has said you will be. Now, I'll tell you something, though. If it's an area of long-standing problem, you're in for a fight. Because you don't push old growly, snarly bear out of his lair without some battle. And when you begin to stand up and say, I'm no longer shy Susie, you know, although your personality is such, you know, you can have a personality that is sort of introvert. That's right. And yet, you can be perfectly in the will of God. You can be perfectly in the will of God. See, and I hope you're making a distinction. I am not saying that all of us have the same personality. We don't. We're different. But the real you is seen when you're walking in the Spirit. That's the real you. That's why Barbara Barnett, one of the shyest people in the church, can get up in front of the church like she does, as often as she does, and sit up in the front pew. I mean, some of you would feel so conspicuous sitting up in the front pew. You know, you'd feel so, you know, room, people are watching me. I mean, you'd go through things. And Barbara Barnett gets up there and sharing. It's a difficulty for her every time she does. Every time she teaches a class, she has to pray through and so forth. And but she submits to the will of God every time. And so you see the real Barbara Barnett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Submits to the will of God. And when you see her in her home life, in her domestic life, a shy person, you're still seeing the real Barnett, because she is submitting to the Spirit of God and living out her life. She has a different personality from anybody else, and so do you. You are unique from all other individuals on the face of the earth. But your uniqueness is only seen in its beauty and its blessing when you're walking in the Spirit. Now see, this is why, if you're saved and then you get married, you know, your flesh is never compatible. There's some people that say, we're not. They get married and they're just all excited and they walk with God. And then a few years down the road, all of a sudden they realize, quote, that they're not compatible. What's not compatible is their flesh. They begin in the Spirit and they're certainly not going to be made perfect in the flesh. And what they need to do is die to self all over again and get this thing straightened out. Begin to submit to the will of God and they'll find themselves in perfect harmony. And by the way, that's a whole lot better than to get married out in the world and have compatible flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, you can make it. You make it. It is. It is so big and strong that it is stronger than what you think you are. And if you choose to be what God wants you to be, that is what you become. I challenge you this morning that no matter what you find or see in the Word of God, choose that that is going to be you. Righteous, holy, loving, disciplined, obedient, diligent, gentle, peaceable, all of these things, self-controlled, all of that can come as you choose to submit yourself to the will of God and choose it above your own thoughts. The basic root, let me show you where this basic root is. You want me to bring you down to the root? Let me give you several scriptures real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'm talking about right down home base, the home base here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, see, in other words, though we walk in the flesh, you got a body of flesh. It gets cut, it gets tired, it gets hungry. We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'd like you to look through that little list. Casting down imaginations, or the Greek is reasonings. Casting down reasonings. Are you going to let your reasonings rule your life, or are you going to let God's Word rule your life? Take a choice. Cast them down, brethren, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what exalts itself against the knowledge of God? It's the lies the devil brings. The lies that he brings exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It's feeding at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast them down. Cast them down, brethren, by the Spirit of God. By your choice to put God's Word first in your life, you will cast down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And then look at this last phrase. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. Your mind should not be wandering down the gutter. Mm-hmm. Your mind should not be wandering around in self-pity. Your mind should not be wandering around in negativeness. Yeah. Your mind does not deserve that. You should not give it that liberty. Mm-hmm. You know what that's doing? It's putting poison into your system. You see, some people think that their mind is the real you. All your mind is a computer.
If I can draw a diagram, let's say this is the real you. There's a soul. The soul uses your ticker up here. Tick, 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 tick. All this is a ticker.
Some have faster tickers, some have slower tickers, you know? That's right. And it's just a ticker. But your soul is both just as equally precious, whether you're 5 years old, 1 year old, 80 years old, whether you're in the body of a very messed up ticker, you know, he's retarded, and he's only got the mind of a 3 year old, but he's got the soul of an 80 year old. He's an 80 year old man that's got the mentality of a 5 year old. His soul is just as precious, and just as eternal, and just as unique as anybody else's. His ticker is just a little bit different. That's right. All these are tickers. This is not the real you. It's your choice of what you will do. That is the biggest expression of your soul. Now, if you let your ticker, if your choice allows your ticker to run in things that are contrary to the will of God, then obviously you have not made a choice to put God's will above your own. You have not chosen. Your will has not said, I will do the will of God. Now, if you let it run in negative areas, you know what it does? It feeds your soul. Mm-hmm. This is a computer that inputs your soul. It inputs your soul. You say, well, but I thought my soul was inputting the mind. It does. Your soul, your will, chooses what you're going to let your mind do. Or it chooses to just let your mind do whatever it wants. It chooses to let whatever come into your mind, it wants to come into your mind. But guess where things are coming into your mind? God, angels, demons, and your own soul. And it's just a ticker up there. Tick, 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 tick. Getting all kinds of things. Just flashing through it, in and out. And your mind gets tired. Did you know that? Your mind gets tired. Do you know that at night your mind is more active, they say, than during the day? Because what happens is that you take off all stops. And you're not controlling your mind. And so it just goes... It's like a tape recorder that loses the strength on the pinch roller, and it pulls away from the cap stand, and what happens? Pretty soon it sounds like Donald Duck. That's what happens. And what it actually does, this is the most amazing thing, I don't understand it fully, but the mind, when it does this during the night, actually produces a different sort of chemical. There's a certain chemical, a certain toxin, it's actually a toxin that is produced in your mind because of their energies put out during the day when they're under control of your will. That when it is just let do whatever it wants to do, it reverses that process during the night. And that's why sleep is so important. And during the night then, your mind can just flit and flat, and that's why you get all kinds of crazy dreams. Because as you come up in your realm of consciousness, you're starting to pick up just slightly some of the things that are going on in your mind. Your mind will start putting things together, and your soul gets more and more involved as you come into more and more consciousness. But this thing is just a ticking away, just a going like crazy, see? Throwing all kinds of things, unconnected, you know, just whatever, just throwing it together, just going like crazy, because you're not controlling it. You haven't got the pinch roller in the cap stand. You know what I'm talking about in a tape recorder? Who does not know what those are? Well, you take up reel, here's your tape recorder, you know, this cassette, and this one's taking it up. Let's say the tape is going this way, okay? So it's rolling up onto this one and rolling off of this one, right? The thing that determines how fast or slow that goes is what's called a pinch roller and a cap stand. And the cap stand stays on this side of the tape, and the pinch roller on the other, and it pinches it, the tape, and it goes at a certain speed, a regular, always the same speed. But if for any reason this gets real slick, so it doesn't, and this is a pinch roller, so it doesn't pinch the tape against the cap stand. If it doesn't pinch it and it pulls it away, the take-up reel that is always tugging all of a sudden begins to zzzz, and it starts sounding like Donald Duck. And so during the day, you've got a good, nice, tight pinch roller. You're controlling your mind. During the night, zzzz. Now, you're not aware of most everything that's going on. But they have taken and put these diodes on people's minds during the night, and they have found activity more energetic during the night at times, even than during the day, while you're just sleeping away. And what it's doing is it's unwinding. You know? That's why sleep is really important. Yes?
It's more important because you're unwinding. That's why it's more important. Because you're saying you're more active. To me, that doesn't sound logical, but it's being more active, it would be better for you.
It's active in that it's not under control, and it's just things are just shooting. All kinds of connections are being made. But it's producing another type of it's another type of chemical because of that. Isn't that amazing? It's actually, in other words, what I'm telling you is it's actually a physical basis to it. A physical basis. We're not just talking about soul. I'm talking about a computer, just like your muscles. As you work your muscles, they build up certain toxins that wear you out. Why? So you don't destroy yourself. That's why you get tired. And if you can take certain chemicals into your body that force these toxins not to be built up so quickly. And so you don't feel tired, but you'll also destroy yourself. And so that's what tiredness is. Tiredness is a safety feature. And that's why some people have been able to go way beyond their strength at times because of certain adrenaline, you're able to push yourself beyond what you normally would. And it hinders that. And so it's an actual physical control on your body so that you don't get too wiped out. Well, that's what happens at night. In your mind, so it's just not controlled as during the day. So it's not controlled. That's why I feel it is so good that before you go to sleep at night, last thing you do is read the Word.
Yeah.
Just read some scriptures. Last thing, when you go to bed at night, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Because all those things are banging around your head all during the night. See, this is zapping around. Whereas if you got the Word of God, and this is zipping and zapping around in there. See, that's why you don't want to go to bed with worry. Things like that. You want to just release all the anxieties of the day, get a good night's sleep. You do a whole lot better. Walking with God is a whole lot healthier. It really is. You don't grow old as quick. That's right. You don't. Look at some of these people that have been in sin. I mean, they're worn out. They're wasted. You know? And so, what am I... I'm saying all of this to say this. Your mind is just a computer. That's all it is. Your mind is not your God. If your mind tells you some things, you can tell them back. And you can say, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Don't give me that guff. That's right. Your will can talk to your mind and say, now you just shut up. Lie down. The will of God is that I be in a positive frame of mind. The will of God is that I am a victor in Jesus Christ. The will of God is that I do not do this, and so I'm not doing it. I don't care how bad you're pulling. You're not my God. Get out, you know. Go back into your cave, you know. You can take authority. It says, bringing every thought into captivity. You can do it. You have the authority and the right. But the reason why most don't is because they are awed at their mind. If they feel a certain thing, that quote is the real them. And that's just the way I am. And then they go into a hopeless spin. And what they're essentially saying is that my flesh is bigger than the will of God. That's essentially what they're saying. I want to show you how big your strong your will is. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, to think on those things, only on those things that are pure, just, lovely, holy, of good report. These are the things that God wants you to think on, and only those things. In Romans 12, and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you doing? When you're renewing your mind, what are you doing? You're bringing your mind into conformity with the will of God. Your soul is choosing the will of God. And so you're saying, mind, you're not going outside the will of God. If it's wrong for me to be in fear, every time my mind starts to go into fear, I say, no.
Yeah.
No fear. Don't fear.
Right.
Why would God and angels tell people, don't fear? But that's just me. I'm just a person that fears. I can't help it. No. Don't fear. You cannot fear. Some people that go into hysterics, what they need is a on the face. Pow! Oh, and it hurts so bad. What did it do? It took their mind off of that thing that was making it such a big issue, and they were immediately able to stop. But see, most of us are so used to letting our mind just do whatever it wants. That's why it feeds you so much poison. That's why you're so affected. Some people are half destroyed before they ever get to a negative situation because they have so fed their minds with all the negative and all everything else that they're beat before they ever get there.
Yeah.
And others have already won before they get there because they know it's going to be a battle, and so they say, mind, you are not going to mess me up. And they begin to encourage themselves in the Lord. The will of God is. The will of God in my life. I will do the will of God. And they build themselves up. And the truth is that. See, they're building themselves up with the truth. And they put that into their mind, and that feeds them godliness. That feeds them strength. That feeds them encouragement. And so they build themselves up. See, I'm telling you something, that your mind does not have to rule your life. The way you think about yourself does not have to rule your life. What should rule your life is your choice to do the will of God and to take His word above everything else. And it's true, you know, with habits and everything else, what do? The easy thing is to go back to the old way, So what do? You bring every thought to captivity. You say no. As soon as you find yourself sliding, you say no. You stop yourself. And believe me, when it's important enough to you, you can do it. You stop yourself. People that have been in prison camps, their mind starts to go back to their family, and the regret and the hopelessness begins to grip them to such an extent that they would go nuts if they allowed themselves to dwell on it. So as soon as they start thinking about their family, you know, stop. They won't let themselves do that. No. God is my strength. The Lord is here with me. He is my father. He is my brother. He is my family. See, He is my sister and my friend. He is my strength. And they just totally obliterate the other thing right out of their mind. Because the input is too negative and too damaging to even allow. You can do it. And as you do it, brethren, submitting to the will of God, you will find strength and power coming into your life that you never realize is possible. Faith. Many times, all faith is just good old stick-to-itiveness. Mm-hmm. I will not let go. Brother, are you believing God? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just not letting go. You know, I won't give up. I'm not going to let that lie have a part of my life. I'm not going to accept that. No, that's just too damaging. I can't. I just won't admit to that. And they're just dogmatic, and they're fighting away, and they may not feel like they got all that kind of much of faith, but I'm telling you, that's how faith operates. Just good old plain stick-to-itiveness. I'm not giving up. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. In Colossians 3, 1-3, it says, set your mind. It says in the King James, affections on things above. But it's literally mind. Set your mind on things above. Where your hope is, where Christ is, and where you are hid in Christ in God. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk for the mind. It's for the mind. You've got to start training your mind. If you have chosen the will of God, then brother, take your mind into tow and say, all right, mind, look, I'm boss, not you. No more you. And see, when we let the mind be the boss, look at what detriment we're in. Demons are putting stuff in all the time. See? Mm-hmm. Negative thing. And see, the more they put it in, then it comes and seeps down into the soul. We've got a bigger battle.
Yeah.
That's why whatever you want in God, you can have it. Because it's your choice. It's your will. It's your decision. That's why if you want revival, you can have it. If you want to walk with God, you can have it. If you want to pursue God, you can do it. It's up to you. The devil has worked constantly and consistently on people to try to get them to feel that they just can't help it. They just can't help it. That's the biggest thing he wants to do. If he can just get people to feel like they just can't help it, then he can just move them anywhere he wants. But you know what brings you out of that deadness? Is to realize that God has commanded something, and he would not command what you could not produce. And when you come under submission to that, all of a sudden you find out, hey, my will was stronger than I thought. God commanded it, I can do it. God asked it of me, I really can. I can choose it. Now, obviously, the end result is so that you end up in communion with God, so that your mind and your soul and your spirit are in fellowship with God. And when other things come in that are contrary to the Word of God, you cut them off. You stamp them as garbage and throw them into the garbage can, as Don has often said. So your soul must choose truth above your own thoughts. That's why Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 Proverbs 3 and verse 5 is such an important scripture in this connection. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't rely on your mind. Don't rely on it. Don't rely on your mind. Rely on the Word. Rely on the truth. Now, what I am telling you is not denying your personality. What we think is our personality is really our acquired negative carnal behavioral characteristics. That, by the way, will fall off as you walk in the Spirit. If you want your soul to fully express itself, then come under submission to God, and all that other garbage will fall off. And so the real you is your soul. Your soul. In there. That is created by God. That's the real you that you have when you're born and you're a child. And that personality, you have personality traits right then when you're a child, born. You're different right then. All those inherent qualities are already there. Now, remember Jesus said you must become as little child if you can enter the kingdom of heaven? It's really kind of like that. Because as you humble yourself like a child, then you're able to just be who you are. You don't have to try to be anybody else. You can just, you don't have to try to guard and check yourself and make sure that you're acting properly in every circumstance. All you do is just submit to the will of God and only do what God wants. Just submit yourself to that will, and then you can do anything you want in the will of God. Because that's all your soul is going to want. That new man. When the Bible talks about putting off the old man, Ephesians 4, verse 24. Therefore, put off the old man with all his deceitful lusts and put on the new man, which is created in holiness before God. That's the real you. That is you being clothed with Christ. And by the way, there was never a more real man on the face of this earth than Jesus Christ. There was nobody that better lived out what he really was than him. And he was totally submitted to the Father's will. If you want to fully express yourself and fully live out your life, then you must come under the will of God in order to do it. Otherwise, flesh will be coming up, carnality, and all of those things that are simply acquired. You don't want to live under that. Do you want to be different than what you are? Well, is what you're looking at the will of God versus the other? I'm not talking about looking at somebody else's soul and saying, I'd like that personality. You have to just live under the will of God. Live under the will of God, and you will find yourself being free from the fears, the bondages, and all the other trappings. As soon as you choose God's word above your own mind, that is really the biggest issue. Choosing the word of God above your own mind. Now, I wanted to cover something else, if I could, just real quickly. If you want to be holy, let me read out of from Watchman Nee, out of a book called The Song of Songs, and it's called The High Calling. If God has called you to be really like Jesus in all your spirit, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put on you such demands of obedience that he will not allow you to follow other Christians, and in many ways he will seem to let other good people do things that he will not let you do. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their plans, but you cannot do it. And if you attempt it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their work, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money, or having a legacy left to them, or in having luxuries. But God may supply you just daily, because he wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is a helpless dependence upon him, that he may have the privilege of providing your needs day by day out of the unseen treasury. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward and keep you hid away in obscurity because he wants to produce some choice, fragrant fruit for his coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. God will let others be great, but he'll keep you small. He'll let others do a work for him and get the credit for it, but he'll make you work and toil on without knowing how much you are doing. And then to make your work still more precious, he will let others get the credit for the work which you have done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or for wasting your time, which other Christians never seem to stress over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and he has a right to do as he pleases with his own. And he will not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle your reason in his dealings with you. God will take you at your word. And if you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot do or say. Settle it forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and that he is to have the privilege of tying your tongue, or chaining your hand, or closing your eyes in ways that others are not dealt with. Now when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart, pleased and delighted over this peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, then you will have found the vestibule of heaven. It's called The Song of Songs by Watchman Nee. There's a section in the High Calling. You see, if you want to become who you are in God, This is what God is calling you to. Total separation unto Him. To where all that comes out of your life is what the Holy Ghost brings out of your life. And then and only then can you really be, as it were, what you really are. A freedom in the Holy Ghost. Okay, God bless you.